Okay, we're starting a new parak. Be'ez Hashem, and a new chodesh, and a new zman. Be'ez Hashem, with much hatzlacha to everybody as we lead up to Matan Torah. As we know, the continuation of Pesach is very much the spirit of Eber leading up to Shavuot. In fact, the Ramban famously asked if Sukkot has the grand closing day, Shmini Atzeres, so why does Pesach not have Shmini Atzeres? And he answers, it does. What's the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach? Shavuot. And all the days in between are like Chol HaMoed. That's what he writes. So you have one Yom Tov on Pesach, you have the last day of Yom Tov on Atzeres, that's why Shavuot is called Atzeres, like Shmini Atzeres. And all the days in the middle are the days of Chol HaMoed. So we're very much in the build-up and the lead-up to Zman HaMatan Torah Seilu, that's Zman for Chizuk in the Mutayu. Okay, so we're making this brand new start, completely new subject. Ketzad Mevorachin Al HaPeiris. Now the very opening words in this perek already needs explanation. It needs explanation. I would like, by the way, Gli Nezer, we'll see, to try and make a step up. I think we've been together long enough. I'd like to try and step up to do more Tosfos than we used to. In other words, we used to see Tosfos only when it was absolutely relevant to Poshut Pshat. But there are, however, other Tosfos that might not necessarily be relevant to literal Poshut Pshat, but an important Tosfos nonetheless. So Be'ez Hashem, the plan is this month, and from here on inwards, Be'ez Hashem is Barach, to try and step up. Instead of we'll do every type, but certainly we're going to try and do most of them. So this is a question that in fact Tosfos deals with. So what would you consider, Rav Nachum, problematic with the opening word Ketzad? Ketzad means, how does one make a bracha on the peiros? One second. You haven't yet told me that you have to make a bracha on the peiros. So first, the Mishnah should have told me, listen, one has to make a bracha on peiros. Okay, chiddush number one. Now we'll get into the details. Ketzad mevorachin, how do you do that? But if you say ketzad mevorachin, it's almost as if we're taking it for granted that of course you have to make brachas, that's poshut. The only question is, how do you go about doing so? And that needs explanation. Why is it so poshut? And if it is poshut, where does it say it? Where does it say it? Now, we must know, this is very, very, very important, when we talk about brachas is a very general word. Because, really, we have to distinguish between different types of brachas. The brachas that we're discussing in this Mishnah, and most of this Perek, or what we call Birkos Hanehenim, the brachas you make on benefit. Birkos Hanehenim. There are other types of brachas. Birkos Hashvach. That might be the bracha afterwards. You say Alamichyo, or Birkos Hamozen, or Bari Nefashos. You're not making a bracha on having Hanoi. You've already had Hanoi. It's too late. But you're praising a Kodesh Baruch. There is a different type of bracha called Birkos HaMitzvahs, like we all did this morning, before we put on the talis, before we put on our tefillin, before we ate matzah on Seder night. There's Birkos HaShvach, for example, when there's thunder and lightning and you say, Eis Master Bereshis, well obviously that's not Birkos HaMitzvah, neither is it Birkos HaNene, rather it's Birkos HaShvach. You're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wonders of His creation, namely the thunder, the lightning, the sea, whatever it may be. There are some brachas, by the way, which are open to debate. So if we were to ask, what is the bracha of Shahakoil and a cup of water? Well, obviously that's a Birkos HaShvach, classic Birkos HaNene. That's a classic Birkos HaNene. Classic. And if I go to the sea, I say, Oyster Master Bereshis, that's a Birkos HaShvach. Birkos HaRi'ya, which is the Birkos HaShvach. There are some brachas which are not so clear. For example, Kiddush Levona, which Be'ez Hashem will say this Motzei Shabbos. How would you define that? Is that a Birkos HaNe'elim? that I'm benefiting from the moon, or is it a Birkas HaShvach? I'm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a discussion about it. So we're not going to get involved, that's not our subject, but essentially, like we said, we always have to differentiate between Birkas HaNeilin, Birkas HaMitzvahs, Birkas HaShvach. There are some brachas which aren't entirely clear in which categories they fall. That's introduction number one. Introduction number two is very, very important. If we were to be asked, are brachas, which we're going to spend many months learning about, Nis Hashem, the whole concept of brachas, are they derabbanan or d'oraisa? The answer is technically you're right, but really they're basically derabbanan. Why are you right to Rabbi Yosef? Because there are one or two brachas which are d'oraisa. Which ones? Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah. Birkas Kainim is also, even though maybe the bracha itself is not d'oraisa, just the Yevorechachos. So Birkas HaMazon is certainly V'chalta V'stavata U'Beirachta, and Birkas HaTorah, although it's Machloikas there. But L'Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah passed in the Mefurash that it is d'oraisa. Now, what does that mean, by the way? L'halacha he paskins as deraisa. I mean, who in the world cares? Was it make a difference whether it's deraisa or drabon? At the end of the day, you've got to say it. The answer is, it does make a difference. For example, says the Mishnah Berurah, what happens if somebody cannot remember whether he has or hasn't said Birkas HaTorah? So if you were to say that Birkas HaTorah is only a derabonon, so we would apply the rules. Tofik, derabonon, bakula. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, in the name of the Shagas Aria, we actually paskin that Birkas HaTorah is a deraisa. So if you're not sure if you said it or not, you're going to have to say it again. Tofik, deraisa, lakula. But essentially, in the main part, the brachas that we're going to be discussing now are all derabonon. Birkas HaNeilin, Birkas HaShvach, they're all derabonon. We don't, at this point, know what the source or the logic for this rabbinic enactment is. Why did they have to make a bracha? What exactly is the reason behind it? But either way, like we pointed out before, if you say Ketzad Mevorchin, it sounds like that we all know already you have to make a bracha. Our only discussion is, how do you go about doing this? So we're going to see that Tosis, the very first Tosis, will discuss this in this session. But let's just try and get stuck a little bit into the mission. So, Ketzad Mevorchin al HaPeiros. By the way, the very opening mission of Shas, which is also obviously Brachas Perek Aleph, how does Shas start? Me'emosai Korin Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Now there, L'chayra in theory could also ask the same question. Me'emosai, why are you jumping to line 2? Why don't you first introduce with line 1? Why don't you say to me, Me'rav Rabbeisai, firstly you should know there is a chiyuv which is called Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Now you want to know the details, Me'emosai, when do you actually go about doing it? It's a similar type question. So we'll see whether that's better or worse. Okay, so let's see the mission. Ketzad Mevorchin al HaPeiros. How does one go about making a bracha on the Peiros? So it depends. We're going to make a distinction between three types of categories. Al Peiros Ha'ilon. Fruits of the tree. Ho'aymer Bayre Pri Ha'etz. Chutz Min Hayayin. Besides for wine, even though it comes from grape, which is from the tree, Sha'al Hayayin Hu Oimer Boire Pri Hagofen. Says Rashi, Chutz Min Hayayin, Ketzem Borchim Chutz Min Hayayin, Shemitoich Chashivusoi, due to its significance, Kavuloi, they fixed for it, they established for it, Brocha La'atzmoi, a bracha in its own right, v'chein ha-pas. So too pas, as we're going to see in a second. Pas, really, you should, in theory, have said v'rei pri ha-adama, because that's where it comes from, but we don't say that. We say, why does it get its own bracha? Because it's choshev. Now, this line of the Mishnah, l'chayra, is a very difficult line to understand. What is it telling you? On all fruits, you say Boire Pri Ha'etz, besides for wine. So why does wine get its own brachas? So Rashi says because it's choshev. But if it wouldn't be choshev, then what would be the halacha? Barapriyos. So let's take a different fruit extract, which is not choshev then. Orange juice. What should be the halacha then? Should be barapriyos. Of course, it's mishnah. Now, it's not really fair to ask it as a question because we're jumping the gun. We happen to know, Baruch Hashem, because we're religious Jews, that yes, we say shakol nivizvar and oranges. But at this stage of the game, let's come without any preconceived notions. It would seem to be at this stage of the game that there is no distinction between the fruit and the juice that's extracted from the fruit. On both, you say very priyot. That's why the Mishnah has to point out that that's true, but yayin is an exception. Why is it an exception? Says Rashi, because it's choshev. So again, we mustn't come with any preconceived notions. It's true, we all know Aloha Lamaisa, and by the way, the Ezer Hashem is Borah, because Brachis is obviously very negeh Aloha Lamaisa, we will try throughout this parak to every so often veer into the halacha to see how this concludes the halacha.
At the moment not,
but we will from time to time look into the halacha. Now, so it's true we happen to know halacha lemaisa that on orange juice and apple juice you don't say bari priva eats, but let's ignore what we know. We're starting afresh. We know nothing about brachas at all. So from this Mishnah it would seem to be that fruit extract, all juices, you say bari priho eats. The one exception being yayin. Why is that an exception? Says Rashi, because it's chosh. Okay, that's halacha number one. Says the Mishnah, va'al peirois ha'aretz. Now what's peirois ha'aretz? Don't tell me that peirois ha'aretz means vegetables, because the Mishnah then says afterwards, v'al ha'irokis. So, let's just translate literally, fruit from the ground. Hu'aymer, b'yrei pri ha'adoma, chutz min ha'pas. Even though pas is essentially from wheat, which grows directly from the ground, I would therefore have thought you should say bracha, b'yrei pri ha'adoma. There's a Mishnah, no. Sh'ala pas, has its own special bracha, which is hamitzi lechem min ha'aretz. Why does pas get its own bracha? As Rashi said, because it's chashuv.
Why is it from the category of fruit of the ground?
Right, that really begs the question. What is the difference between yirokos and peiros ha'adoma? As long as we haven't come up with a clear definition for that, we don't understand why would I have thought that pas is a fruit from the ground. Okay, we'll keep that open for a while. Finally, says the Mishnah, v'ala yirokos u'aymer, also b'yir pri ha'adoma. Just like peiros ha'aretz, so too yirokos. Here, however, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda oimer, b'yirei minei deshoim. Deshoim, what's the translation of deshoim or desha? Grass. Says Rashi, b'yirei minei deshoim. Lefi, sheyesh bichlal pri ha'adoma, included in those generic words, Vayir Pri Adoma, included in that is the Shoim, the Zroim, seeds, Kegoin Kitneis, legumes, Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, Vayir Pri Adoma, says Rabbi Yehuda, is too vague. Why is it too vague? Because it's not specific enough. Vayir Pri Adoma is too general. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, boy, he requires heka bracha that is going to be clearly recognized on every bracha, lekol min v'min, for every species. Now, we have to stop a moment. What's Rabbi Yehuda telling you? I don't want you to make a bracha of vorei pri adama on what? On vegetables. Because vegetables is too vague. You have to distinguish between deshaim and zraim. So, first thing you have to ask is, so why do you say b'yrei minei deshaim? Does that mean you'd also say b'yrei minei zraim then, on zraim? And if that is the case, why did he only mention deshaim? Question number one. Question number two is, on peiros ha'adoma, The Mishnah says you say Bayer Pri Adam and Rabbi Yehuda there didn't disagree. Why not? If Rabbi Yehuda is very particular, that you've got to be extremely specific in your bracha, and Bayer Pri Adam is too vague, and therefore I've got to distinguish between Zeshoim and maybe Zroim, so why is he happy for you to say Bayer Pri Adam on Peiros or Adam? It's too vague. Why didn't you say you should make a bracha? To come up with a new bracha. Unless you tell me that, no. Bayre pri ha'adama is certainly referring to peiros ha'adama. So that doesn't require a separate bracha. So only when it comes to zroim and deshroim, then you differentiate. So we'll have to keep this open, because we're only going to get back to Rabbi Yehuda's shitta much, much, much later on. In fact, in a few more dafs time. A few more dafs.
How is the shot in specific?
Oh, so we'll leave that all open. That's going to be a Gemara much later on. Till the next mission, we have five daf. The next mission is that Mem Ovadal. It's a lot of work. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion appears there in that Mem. So we'll get to it presently. Let's have a look at the top Tosas, who asks the question that we already referred to. Kaysam of Orchin al Peiroi says Tosis Loi Shaykh Lahakshas. It's not possible to ask, which is another way of saying you might be tempted to ask. You might have been tempted to ask. Tana Heicha Koi Diktoni Kaysad. Because a parech bereish mechiltin in daf base. So turn back to daf base. You look in daf base, which is the opening line of this mishnefta. The Mishnah says, "Me'emosai kirein eshema ba'arvis." When do you read Shema Ba'arvis? If you say, when do you read Shema Ba'arvis, that means you're making an automatic assumption that you do say Kriya Shema Ba'arvis. So look at the Gemara, the first line of the Gemara. Yeah, you got the Gemara. The Gemara immediately says, Tana, the Tana of the Mishnah, Heicha Koi. Where is he standing? Where is he referring to the Ktoni that enabled him to state Me'emosai, quote unquote? So you see quite clearly from that Gemara that what? You can't just launch into a statement and expect us all to know the background. And that's why the Mishnah Gemara asks, Tana Heicha Koi. Where is he coming from? Where is he referring to? What's he referring to? Now, the Gemara there gives answers. Fine, the answers are not relevant to us because we're not learning Perek Aleph, we're learning Perek Vav. But what is relevant to us is L'chaira, we should really have asked the same question in our Gemara as well. And yet the Gemara does not ask it. The Gemara L'chaira could have asked, excuse me, Tana, Heicha, Koi, what is the Tana referring to when he says the words, not Me'emosai, but rather Ketzat? And that's what Tosfos is saying, that no. Unlike Daf Beis, in our sugya, it's not a question. So again, Loi Shayach Lahakshis. You cannot ask Tana, Heicha, Koi, Ziktoni, Ketzat, quote unquote, those five words. That's what you might have wanted the Gemara to ask. Where is the Tana referring to? Where is he coming from that enables him just to launch into the words Ketzad? How do you make a bracha? Could a parech bereish mechiltin? Just as we do ask in the beginning of the Masechta, we ask it there, so why can't we ask it here? Says Tosfos, Mishum Dahocha. Svara hu levarech. Kedemasik b'Gemara. We're going to see in the Gemara. The Gemara does actually have a discussion. What's the source of the concept of brachas? And eventually the Gemara is going to say it's just based on pure logic. The Gemara tried bringing Pesukim and all fell through, and therefore the Gemara concludes it's a Svara. It's logic. What's the logic? Da'asa lehones min ha'olam hazeh v'lo bracha. It's asa to benefit from this world without a bracha. Why is it asa to benefit from this world without a bracha? What's the issa? Either gezel, either gezel or me'ila. It's like profanely hektish. Everything in this world, before you make a brach on it, is kodesh. Just like you can't have benefit from kodesh, hektish, me'ila, so too food. So if it really is based on pure logic, it really belongs to Hashem. So it's hektish. You want it, as it were, to belong to you, you have to do something about it to make a brach. So if it really is, therefore, completely logical, so then you don't need to ask the question, where is the Tana coming from? Why? It's based on pure logic. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is not logic. So that's why the Gemara wants to know where you're coming from. Where exactly does it say in the Torah you've got to take Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? But brachos, which as we mentioned before, are drabonon, it doesn't say it in the Torah. But it is a logic. So if it's logic, you've got no right to ask the question, well, where are you coming from? What do you mean where I'm coming from? I'm coming from pure logic. Oh, that's a very good shame. If it really is a logic, so why is it only an enactment with drabonon? If it's logic, then it should be a din d'oraisa. We'll see. Okay, says Tosfos, Inami Yesh Loiv. Alternatively, says Tosfos, I could suggest that we're not just coming out of a vacuum. We are actually referring to something which has been written about explicitly. Now, turn once again back, this time to the Chof on the base. If you look in the Mishnah at the bottom of Yom, the subject there of the Mishnah is Kriya Shema. In fact, the subject of our whole parak is basically Kriya Shema. It says there, Baal Keri, somebody who is Tommy, Maharher Viliboy. You should not say Kriya Shema, you should think it in his heart. That's with regard to Kriya Shema. What about the brachas of Kriya Shema? The Einoi Mavarech Loila Foneho Veloila Achareho. The bracha before all the brachas Kriya Shema, the brachas after Goal Yisrael, those you should not say. What's the difference between Kriya Shema, where you tell me he's got to think it in his heart, as opposed to the brachas where he doesn't? That's a subject there that's not up for us to discuss. But I do see there that clearly there is a concept of a bracha lefoneho and a bracha lachareho. It's not talking about fruits, it's true, or food, but Kriya Shema. But I do see the concept of a bracha before and a bracha afterwards. Says Tosfos, by us now, we're coming off the back of this Mishnah. We're coming from that Mishnah. If the Mishnah teaches us, albeit with regard to Kriya Shema, that you've got to make a bracha lefoneho lachareho, so we can copy and paste. And we can say, if that's true with regard to Kriya Shema, certainly it's true with regard to food. Says Tosfos, Inami Yeshloima Dekoi Amasnisen. It's not just coming from logic, it's actually referring to something which has been written about specifically. What's that? Dekoi Amasnisen. It's referring to the Mishnah, the Misha Mesu, in the parak called Misha Mesu. Diktoni, it says there, Baal Keri Mavorech Lacharov, Einei Mavorech Lafonov. quote unquote, V'ochanami, so too with regard to us, even though we're not discussing Kriya Shema, Shayechocha Levorech al Kol Dova V'Dova. Also with regard to us, logic dictates that you should make a bracha both before and after, just like Kriya Shema. Al Kein Komar Ocha, that's why we have every right to stay over here, quote unquote, Ketam Levorechim. So we're not just merely coming from a svara. There is actually a precedent for this. We do have a Mefurisha Mishnah which talks about the concept of the bracha prior and the bracha post, before and after. Even though it's not talking about peiros or food, it's talking about Krishna. But it says the same that would apply there would apply here as well. If it would apply over here as well, then we have every right to ask the question. Ah, tell me, how'd you go about doing so? Ketam Mavorcha. Okay. Not the Gemara. Mino Hanimili. How do you know you've got to make a bracha on the pay rise? Now, remember, which bracha did our mission discuss? Only the bracha lefoneha. Nobody spoke about the bracha achreina, whether it's bracha nefashos or bracha me'ein shalosh. Nobody discussed that. So we're talking about at the moment the bracha lefoneha. Says the Gemara, you know what I mean? Zitonu Rabbanon Kodesh Yilulim Lashem. Where does it say Kodesh Yilulim Lashem? Last week's parasha. In Perek Yud Tes Pasuk. Says here as follows: you'll come to Eretz Yisrael, you'll plant the fruits, and it becomes Orlah for 3 years. Ubashana Haraviyas, Yia Kol Piriyoy Kodesh. All the fruits will be Kodesh. Kodesh Hilulim Lashem. Holy Hilulim. What does Hilulim mean? So for the moment, we'll just translate it as like a Lashon Hallel. Praise Pasha. By the way, some suggest this is the source of the custom for doing what's called a chalaka, an option. Sort of in Hogan. In Chutzpah, it's less practiced, and here it's very commonly practiced. Again, 3 years, like Orla, and the fourth year becomes Kodesh. Okay. Now, it says there those three words: Kodesh, Hilulim, Lashem. So look at Rashi immediately. Says Rashi, Kodesh Hilulim, what's the subject matter? Beneta Ravai. What does Neta Ravai mean? Ravai means the fourth year. Neta, plantation. We're going to see later on that there's actually a discussion. Does the halacha of Ravai apply to all fruits or only to wine, grapes? Kerem Ravai. Neta Ravai, all plantations, or Kerem Ravai? But we'll come to that, we'll leave that open for the moment. So, says Rashi, the Neta Ravai Ksin. This is written with regard to Neta Ravai. Umashma Shnei Hilulim. The indication is that you need a double praising. Why double? It's a plural, Hilulim. It's mashma that two hallels ta'un are required ba'achilosoi when you eat this produce kashatichlenu b'shana haraviyas when eventually you eat it in the fourth year shumutu ba'achila. In other words, we have to know the halachas over here. When you plant a fruit, whichever fruit will not get involved. So for the first 3 years it's oral, finished, nothing to do. Can't eat it, can't benefit, nothing to do with it.
The fifth year, and onwards, it's yours, you can do whatever you like with it. The fourth year is a sort of quasi-status. That's what we call a revive. Meaning, on the one hand, it's not Orla, you can eat it. On the other hand, it has Kedusha. Similar to Maisa Shin. Very similar to Maisa Shin. We'll see if you taste it again. Maisa Shin. So what does that mean? You can eat it. It's not like Maisa Shin, which has to be taken to Yerushalayim, but it does have Kedusha. But it is like Maisa Shin in that you can redeem it. Maisa Shin can be redeemed. You've got a bag of olives, which are Maisa Shin. You don't expect that to Yerushalayim. So you can redeem it. You transfer the Kedusha onto coins. The money adopts the Kedusha. The fruit is stripped of its Kedusha. You can do what you like with it. So, Netta Rabba is the thing. So, it does share some common denominators with the Maisa Shin. But either way, as Rashi is pointing out, if it says Kodesh Hilulim Lashem, even though you're definitely allowed to eat it, but there's some Hilulim you've got to do. It says the Gemara, you know what I mean? The Tana Rabbanan. Kodesh Hilulim Lashem Melamed Shetu'unim Bracha Lifnehem Ulachrehem. It's mashma. This teaches us they require a bracha before and after. Why before and after? Hilulim, plural. Mikan Omer Rav Akiva. It's from here that Rav Akiva says, Osur la Adam sheyitayim klum kodem shivare. It's from here that Rav Akiva derives this great principle that it's also to taste anything until you get a bracha. Why? You first got to do the hilul. You see from a rakiba, by the way, not only is there a mitzvah to make a bracha, but there's an issa to eat without. The word issa needs to be very carefully defined. There is a mitzvah to affix the mezuzah on your house. So if you live in a house without a mezuzah, are you over an issa? No. The mevatel, a mitzvah. It doesn't say anywhere you must not live in a house without a mezuzah. It says you must live in a house with a mezuzah. If somebody doesn't do Korban Pesach, it's not over an issa. You just, it's not my kind of mitzvah. So I might have been excused for thinking that if you eat without a bracha, it's not a mitzvah. Issa, I think. There's Rabbi Akiva, no, it's actually an issa. There's an issa to eat without being mekayim a bracha, without saying a bracha. You know when this is negeh l'alacha? This is negeh to me Friday night. I was in Yerushalayim for Shabbos. Had a family simcha. In the middle of the simcha, in walks an irreligious Jew. He happens to know the Baal Simcha. Just came in to wish him Mazel Tov. So the Baal Simcha says, oh, so nice of you to come, and he poured him a cup of whiskey. Upon which he took the whiskey and drank it and left. Without making
it even.
Shulchan Aruch says, you're not allowed to give food to somebody who doesn't make a bracha. Now that might be dependent on what we just discussed. If there's a mitzvah to make a bracha, and if you don't make a bracha, then what? It's not listening to Ivan. I didn't cause him a stumbling block. I didn't give him an issa. What's classic listening to Ivan? What does the Gemara say is listening to Ivan? If I give Yayin,
to a nazir. There's an issa for a nazir to drink yayin. So I gave him something which is asur to eat. It's asur. It's ma'acholos asurus. What is? What's this advice?
Nazir?
Yeah, that's true. We pass even on drabonos as well. Therefore, if making a bracha was merely a mitzvah, who said there would be enough meiver to give somebody food if he's not going to make a bracha? I didn't give him an issa. But if the Gemara says that no, there's an issa, we're going to see later on. Yes, it's like gezel. Imagine I take somebody's fruit which doesn't belong to me and I give it to somebody else to eat. That's this neighbor. Even if he does make a bracha, why? Because I gave him gzeila. Every food without a bracha is like gzeila. It's not just a bittul mitzvah, it's an issa. So the chayyur in this case, the Baal Simcha should not give him the fellow wisdom. Which, by the way, is an extremely painful, tragic shayla. I've been asked this shayla. There's somebody who lives in this neighborhood who's got an irreligious daughter. Totally irreligious, unmarried, irreligious daughter. So I once mentioned this halacha in Shir with regard to different subjects. She asked me, well, what do I do at home?
I do.
How can I feed my daughter? How do I put food on her plate? Very, very difficult question. A friend of mine, you know Rabbi Jacobson from the Grass School. So he once had a whole scary story about Hashem. It all had a good outcome. When his daughter was swimming, he was there in Ashdod Beach, and she got swept out. And there was no lifeguard there. And he saw her just being sucked out, nothing he could do. And Mamash thought that was it. Just then, Mamash Hashkacha brought it. The Chesed of the Rebbe, the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized, there was a passing policeman or something. And he saw what happened and he threw himself in the water and he rescued her. Dragged her out. Policeman or security guard or something. Saved her life. So he actually tried to build up a cash with him, got to know him. And he went back to Ashdod to meet him. He wanted to give him a gift, a token of appreciation for saving his daughter. So he wanted to buy him a nice, expensive bottle of wine. Lalacha, it was awesome. He was an irreligious security guard. Unless you tell him, you've got to make a bracha. So you don't even know whether that's, you don't always know whether that's possible or whether. If not, buy him a bunch of flowers, whatever. Buy him something else, a watch. Let's give him food. Is the favor? Why is the favor? It's us the sheet.
What do you do if you have people in your home?
It's a very, very difficult question.
Everyone's got a religious somebody.
So you have an irreligious person who comes to your home. So there's different aids. Depends again on the relationship you have with this person. If the relationship is such where there's no animosity and you're able to say, oh, here, an office on his feet, don't forget, obviously, the bracha is such and such. If that's possible, it's only forever. I've told him it's what he's got to do. What he does now is his business. If that's not possible, sometimes it's not possible for obvious reasons. So then the eighth is you announce in a loud voice, okay, we're going to eat now. The bracha on this is as follows, I'm going to meet everybody. I'll be mitzi anybody who wants to be yaitzu my bracha. I'm going to say a bracha on behalf of everybody. So you mitzi that person. They, for whatever reason, are thinking to themselves, no, I do not want to be yaitzu with Nachum Gelin's bracha. That's their problem. It's very negiah if you own a makolet. If you have a kiosk at a station. And who's taking, who's buying food from you? Or is it you? How can you sell food? I'm going to make a bracha. So some of them are like a paper there. Lo lishkoach levarech. Don't forget to make a bracha. That way I've informed you. Now if you do or don't, that's your problem.
So I actually have a It's a big problem. It's a big problem. So the best is, like I said, announce in a loud voice. Okay, pleasure to have everybody here. We're going to make a bracha. I'm going to say it loud, and we should hear, listen, and that way you fulfill the obligation. Difficult situation. But even more difficult in this particular person, Shaila, where his own daughter is religious, so he has a Shaila every single day of his life. How do I feed the girl supper? Very, very difficult situation. Okay. Says the Gemara. Vahai, Kodesh Hilulim, quote unquote, Lahochi Huda Asa. These words, Kodesh Hilulim, from which we were deriving the what? But there's got to be two Hilulim, one before, one after. Lahochi Huda Asa. Is that really what I'm learning from these words? Surely, I require these words or the Hilulim for something else. Now remember, how many drushes can I make from the words Hilulim? Two. Why two? Because it's plural. So we want to say it's used for bracha lefoneha, bracha l'acharecha. Says the Gemara, one second. It seems to have been booked up already. Why is it booked up? One aspect, one derivative of the word Kodesh Hilulim, Domer Achmona, Achalei, Vahodar Ochlei. Like we said before, Netar Ravai is Kodesh, but it may be eaten if it's redeemed. So what does achale mean? Be mechalel. Redeem it. Make a chulin. Vahodar achle. How's that derived the word hilulim? So, simply speaking, hilulim, the hay, and the ches are interchangeable. So instead of reading it as halel, read it as halel. Redeem, then eat. Now, if that's the halacha that we learn from this puzzle, then it turns out that Kodesh Hilulim is not really spare. Or at least, it's not spare to make two droshes. So far, we've already derived something else from it. Says Rashi. Or in fact, let's continue the Gemara. What's the Rashi? The Eder and the other drasha that you could make from here is that what? Dovar hatoun shiro toun chilul. V'she'enoi toun shiro ein toun chilul. It's a very beautiful line. Why is it very beautiful? Because it's connected to the end of the line. In other words, this is what we referred to before. There is a discussion, Netar Ravai or Kerem Ravai. There is one opinion that says the only halachas of Ravai refer to only to a Kerem. Why? Because they use the word Hilulim for the word Halal, praise, Halal, Shira. Which fruit do you say Shira over? Why? Mustafa. There's one opinion that says that's another way of saying that Halacha of Ravai only applies to wine, grapes, Kerem Ravai. Now, according to that, at least according to that opinion, it turns out that what? That Hilulim is not fair at all. Both aspects of Hilulim have both been booked up. One to teach me that you have to be Mechalel and then you sit, and one to tell me that it only refers to that type of fruit which has Halel, i.e. Yai. So again, the idr, dovor hatoun shiro, something that requires shiro toun chilul, also requires chilul to be redeemed.
V'she'enoi ta'on shiro, ein ta'on chilo. Uka de Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Yom Rabbi Yonasan. In accordance with the teaching of Rabbi Shmuel. Why, what did he tell us? The Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Yom Rabbi Yonasan. Minayin, how do I know? She'en oimrim shiro elo al hayayin. That I only say shiro on a yayin and not what? Not on any other korbanos in the Mishnah, specifically on the stuff. The answer is never a possible. Shenema, v'toyim alohem hagefen hechdalti estiroishi. Toyim alohem hagefen hechdalti estiroishi hamesameach elokim va'anoshim. The wine is mesameach elokim and people. Now, what does that mean? I understand that wine is mesameach anoshim. Because you drink it, it's enjoyable. But in what way is it mesameach Elokim? Says the Gemara. Im anoshim mesameach, albeit that people can be rejoicing over yain, but Elokim b'man mesameach. How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, besimcha over wine? It must be mikan she'ein oimrim shiro elo al hayayin. From here we know that the simcha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, derives from yayin is the shiro that you make over the yayin. Which yayin? The yayin of the Mishnah, says Rashi. I'm in Boyale, Hilulim Loshen Hilulim. Had Minayu, one of them, one of the two possible derivations from this word, Osta comes along, Lo'iruye. What does Lo'iruye mean? To teach us. Achle, Fahodar Achle. I.e., Toiti Hua, Lochulim. First, extract it into Chulim, strip it of its kedusha status and make it Chulim. How do you do that? Al yaday pidyon im bas loich loich chutzli Yerushalayim. If you come and eat it outside Yerushalayim, which reminds us exactly of Maestro Yerushalayim kedusha. If you want to eat it, either you go up to Yerushalayim, if not, you don't want to take it up to Yerushalayim, you redeem it, and you can eat it even the Medina, the Bruni. So too Allah. Where's that learned from? Hallel. Hallel. That's one Russia. V'chad. Furthermore, l'lamed chosheloi nemro toiras revai. The whole Torah, all halachas and rabbi were only ever said Elo Bekerem Shenemar Koidesh Hilulim, quote unquote. Dovor, it has to be that type of matter. Shema Halalim Boy, that one praises with. What is that? That's Yain. Oride Ta'un Chilu. Then it requires a redemption. What is that? Bezer Yain. She'ein oimrim halavim shir shel korban b'mikdash. The levim do not say the shir in the Beis HaMikdash. Elo al hayayin. Only when there's yayin. What does that mean on yayin? Kishemanaschem nischei mizbeach. When they pour the libations over the mizbeach, as we learned last month. Okay, we'll hold it over here. We're really in the middle of a question, as Rashi points out, but we'll continue next time. I would recommend that we should see the Tosfos. Have a look at Tosfos number 1, which we already learned, number 2, number 3, number 4. I tell you the truth, until the bottom of the Amud, You can learn all of the tastes. We'll try and learn all of the tastes. Here's the Sfiras HaOmer.